Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Of course, you'll find us online at thisweekinamerica.us. Our guest on today's This Week in America is talented author John J.J. Zaire, a U.S. Navy and Vietnam veteran. His highly praised works of historical fiction includes stories set in Vietnam, World War II, and Civil War timeframes. He's the author of a number of novels and short stories. Today, we will focus on The Ghost of Chateau du Chasse, one review calling Zaire a masterful writer with a tremendous eye for snappy dialogue and emotional moments that will punch you right in the gut. Retired Admiral John Zaire served in the U.S. Navy for 36 years as a Navy pilot, logging 1,000 landings aboard aircraft carriers. During Vietnam, he flew 300 combat missions. He served as the commanding officer of the aircraft carrier USS Constellation. After retiring in 1995, he worked in the aerospace industry for 11 years, a master's degree in aeronautical engineering. John J.J. Zaire, author of The Ghost of Chateau du Chasse, is our guest on This Week in America. John, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much. And, it's a pleasure for me to be here, too. Thanks so much for hosting me here.
It is our pleasure. This is such an interesting book that's getting excellent reviews. Let's talk a little bit about some of the main characters in the book, and we'll talk a little about the storyline without giving too much away, and we'll tell people how they can get a copy of the book as well. It focuses basically on Bill Marshall. Talk about Bill and the Marshall family. They're central to this story.
Right. Okay, so they're a Navy family, and Bill Marshall is an outspoken character, and he managed to get to the level of Navy captain, but his outspokenness has gotten him into trouble, and he is not expected to make another, to be promoted to admiral. And so he is finishing up a job and looking for one last assignment, and they're talking about sending him to the Pentagon. And what he knows of the Pentagon is you work like heck, put in long hours, and all of it to kind of help admirals look good, if you will.
Yes.
And but then this opportunity comes up for him to go to Europe. And he has spent most of his time in the Pacific, so he thinks, well, maybe this will be kind of interesting. While this was playing out in his life at the same time, his wife, who has subordinated her wants and desires for 20 years to the Navy and to Bill Marshall's career, And she is working for a jury consultant as the office manager. And the office manager takes her along to a trial. And lo and behold, Kate, Bill's wife, winds up having some talent as a jury consultant in her own right. And so she gets offered a partnership in this jury consulting business. And the partnership offer comes right after this comes. I'm sorry, I get my storyline mixed up here a little bit. But Bill's offer to go to Belgium comes a little bit later. But Bill thinks he's not going to get another promotion, and his wife gets one. So he says, "I'm just going to retire." And tells his wife to go ahead and take the promotion. But then Bill's superiors will not accept his resignation because
right.
It turns out his talents fit exactly what is needed by a U.S. Army general in Belgium in the NATO organization. So Bill, in effect, the way Kate sees it, betrays her.
Yeah, she's not real happy, is she? Yeah.
Yes. For 20 years, she subordinated her wants and desires for his career, and now she finally gets an opportunity on her own, and Bill pulls the rug out from under. Well, of course, it was the Navy pulling the rug out. And she could have decided to just stay where she was in California, but they have spent, their family has spent so much time apart, she just says, well, I am just going to have to go and suck it up here and be a dutiful Navy wife once again. So that was kind of like the in the opening shots of the book. And they wind up getting to Belgium. By the time they get there, Kate has kind of tamped down her initial anger over all of this development. And they wind up in this mansion. And the mansion belongs to the royal family. And they have nobody who will rent the thing. It had been used as a hotel for a while and various purposes during World War One and World War Two. And the Belgian royal family feels the house is happier if somebody's living in it. So they rent the house to the U.S. Army, who makes it available to U.S. military officers. And they wind up in a 50-room mansion.
Wow.
But they only need a small part of it.
Yes.
Of course. So the rest of it is kind of closed off. And as it turns out, there are a couple of ghosts living in the house. And I'll tell you where the ghost inspiration came from. And Belgium was my second last assignment while I was in the Navy at NATO. And we had a chance to visit Dachau, which is near Munich.
Yes.
And this was probably 1990 or 91. And there weren't a lot of tourists visiting Dachau at that particular point. And I tell you, you could just feel the spirits there from, you know, what the Germans did to the Jewish people.
Yes.
I have since visited Auschwitz and Birkenau in the midst of a huge gaggle of tourists, and I just never got the sense of feeling those other spirits there amidst all the other living people. You know, to me, I guess I feel like there has to be a certain amount of quietness before you get that feeling.
Yes.
And so that experience visiting Dachau was one of the inspirations for the story. And, of course, there's the other one is a friend of mine reported into the same organization I was attached to, and he winds up almost in an exact situation like I was telling about with the chateau. And he and his wife and three kids occupied this 50-room place. I will tell you, the basement of this thing, they threw the greatest Halloween party.
Oh, I can imagine. What a location. Yes. What a location
right.
to do that.
And I guess the other thing that kind of inspired me over there was we, of course, had members in the military organization there from all the NATO countries. And the Germans made up a fair representation of the overall staff at our headquarters. And it just seemed like every social function, or if you went to a happy hour on Friday afternoon, and you were talking, World War II always seemed to come up. And I watched the Germans and how they just kind of sort of became wallflowers until that conversation took itself on down another bunny trail, if you will, and we left the war behind, and they'd come off of the wallpaper roll and rejoin the conversation. And I just thought it was quite extraordinary how the German people, I mean, generation or two after the war, had learned to deal with this. To me, it was quite something.
The book we're talking about. I'm sorry. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Finish.
Okay. So, and another thing that has always kind of stuck in my mind about World War II was how many good guys had to die to take down one real evil one.
Yes.
And of course, there was more than one. But so all of those ideas were kind of rattling around in my head. And and then this friend of mine who shows up and lives in this house, and I can't tell you the thing that really made all these different ideas fall into place at one point. So I thought, oh, I'm going to write this story. And, you know, it's just inspiration in this particular case wasn't a one-shot deal. It came from several different experiences and just thinking about World War II and good and evil in general, if you will.
Yes, and the book is receiving excellent reviews. With us on the program is the author John J.J. Zerr. That's Z-E-R-R. The book we're talking about is The Ghost of Chateau de Chasse, and that's C-H-A-S-S-E. Information at John's website, which is johnzerr.com. That's John, Z-E-R-R.com. Book, of course, available at Amazon. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to John's website, get information there on this book and all of the books that that John has written. Let's talk about the process here. Time going by way too quickly. There's so much we can talk about with your career in this particular book, but when you get all these elements together, as you say, based on some fact, and then the storytelling aspect of this comes in, how difficult was it to write and to create this this horror story, this mystery, this suspense story? You've got the easy part. You've got the facts down, and now you're building a story around it. How long did that process take you to come up with the main storyline here that's so compelling?
Well, it was about a year's worth of concentrated effort. I have a gazillion bits and pieces of stories that are in my computer, and I write stuff sometimes for like a contest or anthology call out or something like this, and the thing may or may not be accepted, but I never throw any of my stuff away. It's
yes.
All in there in Fibber McGee's junk closet, if you're old enough to even know McGee was.
Yeah. I shouldn't admit that, but yeah, I know exactly who he is. So, yeah, I get the reference totally.
So, in a lot of cases, I mean, some things will come from something that started 3 or 4 years ago. But, you know, I put in generally a year's worth of concentrated effort to put a book out. And in that, when I start, I want to have a firm idea of how it's going to end, you know, so there's got to be some image of a story here, but I don't start until I've got enough of the details worked out so I can see the end.
Okay.
And then I start, and I will admit, sometimes these dead burn characters that come out of wherever they come out of, they develop a mind of their own.
I was going to say, you've given them a mind of their own, apparently.
Yes. So it's an iterative process as it goes along. And, you know, I sat in on an interview Jeffrey Deaver did once, and he talked about his writing process. And he does something like a 200-page outline before he even starts.
Yes.
Now, and I can see in a mystery, you need to have things plotted out. You need to know when you're going to disclose clues and all of that sort of thing. But for me, I don't spend that much time on the outline. I do outline, but like I said before, I need that firm vision of where the story is going to end, and then I can go and start driving to it. And I guess, you know, like I said, about a year is what it takes me to get a book out. Now, the first two books I did, they took me like 3 years. The first book, I think I want to put 100 beginnings on that thing before I finally said, you know, I'm anxious to get started on my second book. And this could be, you know,
got to get this first one done. So I can't do two till I get one done. Was that the Ensign Locker? That was your first one, I believe.
That was my first book. It was, a Vietnam story set in 1966. It was it dealt with a point in my life before I decided to start flying, and it was Vietnam for me was I'm not quite sure to call it traumatic. I will say it was a formative experience.
Yes.
What I am today was colored significantly by my experiences in Vietnam and the protests and all of that. While I was over there, and you come home, and there was no appreciation. And furthermore, I mean, we for years after Vietnam, when we traveled, like to a meeting, attend a meeting back in D.C., we went in civilian clothes. Nowadays, you know, guys go in camis and they get great treatment now, and I'm happy for them. I really am. But it just wasn't that way coming out of Vietnam. So, you know, it's the way it was, and I don't know, writing, maybe it's therapy. I do know that first Vietnam story, that was the thing that was kind of sticking down there in the belly of my soul, and it needed to get out before I was going to be able to write anything else. So, and once I had that thing out, other than the stupid beginning, I was ready to go on the second book. So,
and many more after that, including the book we're talking about here called The Ghost of Chateau du Chasse by our guest on the program, John J.J. Zerr. You'll see J.J. Zerr, Z-E-R-R, is the author on the book. One review saying they'd recommend this book for anyone who enjoys the shiver provided by the reading, the genre of suspense and horror. And I think that probably sums it up very well in one sentence. There was so much there, so much emotion. It's such a great storyline. The castle they stay in is like a character in the story. It's just so well done, so well written. What are you working on now?
Well, actually, I have three things going. I have another Vietnam story. It'll be the fourth one in the Vietnam series. I have, the book before The Ghost of Chateau du Chasse is called Guerrilla Bride. It was a Civil War in Missouri story. And I'm writing another Civil War story. This one will be set in Kansas. I have that one about a third of the way done. My wife, who I affectionately call the boss of everything, was pinging on me to get another of the Vietnam series written. They all deal with the same main characters. And so she said, people have been talking to her about when I'm going to do the next one of that series. So I left the Civil War in the lurch here about a third of the way finished, and went to work on the new Vietnam story. And then I ran into, you know, I don't know if I'd call it writer's block, but I had some emotional things to deal with these characters. And it was just hard. And I wasn't getting anywhere, and I wasn't getting anything written. So I started working on a book. It's going to be kind of like in the format of a memoir, but it's...
That'd be interesting.
It will be at least 17% fiction. I'll say that. Okay? And so I managed to get about 20 pages of that thing written, and now I'm going to make myself go back to Vietnam and finish that story off. I'm at least two-thirds of the way through it, and I'm ready to go back to it. But those are three things of semi-finished work sitting there in the guts of the computer, and the Vietnam story. It's going to be called A Ticket to Hell. And that one, hopefully, I'll get done in a couple of months.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Hopefully, we'll have a chance to have you back on the program and talk about that. Such a talented writer, John J.J. Zerr, our guest on the program. That's Z-E-R-R. The particular book we're talking about is The Ghost of Chateau du Chasse. That's C-H-A-S-S-E. You go to John's website, which is johnzerr.com. Again, Z-E-R-R.com. You'll get information on this book, all the other books that John has written. You can stay up to date on all of the new books that John is working on. And you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to John's website. John, the time went by way too quickly. A pleasure having you on the program. Look forward to doing this again. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it so much.
It is our pleasure. Our guest is J.J. John Zerr, Z-E-R-R. The books are available at his website, johnzerr.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on directly. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.